I believe one of the greatest things that we can do as families, as churches, is to bring up our young people for the cause of Christ. And that they might learn who He is, accept Him as their Savior, have their lives changed, that they might live for Him, and that their life might be just what God wants for them. And I believe that Christian parents have that desire, but oftentimes we don't understand how to do it. Oftentimes we get discouraged and so forth, and we have so many voices saying so many things about this. This morning, I've entitled this. This is a long title: Common Traits Young People Have Who Don't Leave Their Church. Did you catch that? Common traits of young people who don't leave their church. I'm dealing with this because the statistics are overwhelming. When we look at the statistics, we're finding that well over 60%, depends on who done the study, some say as high as 95% of our young people who grew up in our churches, when they get out of high school, quit. And if not right then, within the next few years. And it is not a viable part of their lives any longer. Barna, which is a study group, did one in 2006, and their figure was 61%. Even if that's a little high, we're looking at almost one out of every two young people in our churches departing when they become adults. And that is an horrendous thought. We can look at this morning all the things that turn our youth off. We can look at all the things that distract them from the reality of their faith, because there are many. Most who go on to secular colleges leave their faith. Not all, but most. They get all wrapped up in those things. We can look at those things. But I think it would be better for us if we stopped and looked at what is come amongst those who don't leave. What can we do that is done in lives of young people who find the reality of Christ and stick at it? You see, the Bible says, and you see it in Proverbs chapter 22, we've looked at this verse often, I'm sure you know it, but what's it say in verse 6? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I hear a lot of discussion on this verse. Some say it's a promise. Most say it's a principle to live by. But I do know that it says that we need to train our children up in the way they should go. What is that way? What is it that we ought to look at and discover that is common amongst those who are sticking with it? They're staying in it. This is not a remedy that we can give that says, hey, this is, you do these things and it will work. But it certainly is that which is most successful in life. We must, what, find out how to train them and discover the way that they are to go. Taking them to church a couple of hours a week, saying grace at the table, sending them to church camp, and maybe even on a missions trip, is far from a 24/7 way of life. Is that an accurate statement? And sometimes we think that because we do those few things that we are bringing him up in the way. I want to share with you this morning three thoughts that I believe has come amongst all young people who stay with it. We want our kids to stay with it, amen? We want them to understand the reality of Christ. You see, my background's a little different. I had church in my background, but it was not 24/7 as far as the things of the Lord was concerned. And I didn't come to know Christ as my Savior till I was 19 years of age. But there's something that took place in my life at 19. God changed me. Problem number one, and why they don't stay and why they do stay, is this thing of conversion. Those who stick with it, they are genuinely converted. Can I use that word? They know Christ as their Savior. It's a reality in their life. How many know what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says? We're looking at very familiar verses this morning, but what does it say? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's what? He's a new creature. Do you believe the Bible? Amen? He's a new creature. It goes on and says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so what needs to be taking place in the lives of our young people? They need to be saved. Far too often, we see a point in their life and some emphasis has been made. They make some kind of a decision, but it's not a reality in their life. And it was not a genuine thing in their life. Most kids want to please their parents, and because their parents want them to be saved, some of them will go through the action, through the motions, but not always be genuinely saved. It just happens. And even the most well-intentioned and well-meaning, one of the things we need to be very, very sure of and work in their lives is to what? See them come to know Christ their Savior. He makes a difference. I'm thinking of a little girl that came to our church. Mom and Dad were committed people to the Lord, still are. And this little girl was the orneriest, meanest. I mean, for a 5-6-year-old girl, I mean, she was, well, anyways, you know what I'm saying? She was a devil on wheels. But about 6 or 7 years of age, I can't remember exactly, this little girl got saved. And I want to tell you, there was a difference in her. You see, young kids can get saved. And there's some changes. No, we're not going to see them, you know, put down their cigarettes and give up their drugs and, you know, quit all their cussing, because they never did some of those things to start with, right? But there is some changes. For her, she was a very ornery little girl and was very obvious. And it was a tremendous change in her life. And she's still living for the Lord. I get it mixed up, but it was one of those Schroeder girls. What's the youngest one? Amy? Yeah. And it was just, it was one of those things. And we see that so often in lives. We need to stop talking about good kids and being just pleased. And I hope you understand where I'm coming from here. And being pleased of attendance at youth group and fun retreats and those kinds of things. We need to get on our knees and pray that the Holy Spirit of God will do a miraculous work of salvation in the hearts and the lives of our young people. And the Word of God speaks to their hearts. I mean, just put it in a short version. We need to get back to focusing on their salvation, their conversion. They need to be saved. You see, when you have the salvation of God, who comes to live within you? Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God becomes our teacher and our guide. And the reason that a lot of young people don't have that guidance, no matter what you say, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to them, because they do not have the power of the Holy Spirit in their life. And the Scriptures, they're not relevant to them. And they seem to be unrelated to life's everyday situations. And so they need that Spirit of God to show them how relevant it is. and what faith does for us in our life. And so that's the need. They need to be genuinely converted. That's the need of your life. It's the need of my life. It's the need of every person. It ought to be an obvious thing. But it's not always. How can I say this? That much, there's not that much concern about it in the lives of parents so often, and church people in general, and we need to be very, very concerned in this area. They genuinely converted. Number two, and very important area, something that's common to young people who stay connected with God. They've been saved. They have the Spirit of God dwelling in them, and they have been equipped, not entertained. They've been equipped, not entertained. Social functions are fine, but they are a means to an end. They have a purpose. A social function ought to be for the ability of a person to relate their faith one to another. If you and I really gathered as Christians, the football game wouldn't be near as important as what we have found and what God has given us for life from His Word and from experiences we have. And it's almost like we are afraid to even talk about those sometimes in public, even amongst Christians. And that's a wrong approach. But young people, they need to be equipped. If we have a function and it's some kind of a fun function, and there's a large attendance, we get all excited. But that's not the goal. That's not the goal. The goal is to equip them. We need to educate them and seek them to go further than they had before. We can use the word disciple them. We have in our church three very unique opportunities to reach and to mentor our next generation. And they're very important. A lot of folks, they look at it and they say, well, what are we doing to disciple people? Or what are we doing to bring them along? Well, here's three things we're doing very uniquely. Not uniquely here, but three things that we are doing here. As a group. And their success is not the attendance in numbers, but really the success of these is when the mindset of our entire church sees the vital importance in discipling our young people and using what we have. Let me share with you number one. Not necessarily in order, but we have a Sunday school. We are in a Sunday school class right now. What is Sunday school? Have you ever thought of the word school? It's school we have on Sunday. Amen? And it's a time to come and learn. It's time to gain and to gather information and to allow God to speak to our hearts and show us truth. And it's intended for the teaching of God's truth from His Word. Now let's stop and think about it for a moment. It's not just the responsibility of the teacher, but it's all of our responsibilities. Well, I don't have a Sunday school class. Does that make you not responsible for the young people that are around here? You say, I'm old, I've raised my kids. Does that take away your responsibility? No. We all have that responsibility in these things. You say, well, I'm not in those classes. I understand that. But you realize this morning that we can be a partner in those classes. You say, how can I be a partner there? Well, we can pray for them. We could take on, you could take on one class and get the names of the kids in that class and the teacher and the helper, and you could begin to pray for them individually day after day. I'll guarantee you when you begin to do that, you'll begin looking for them in the church service time. Rather than these kids who come up on the first couple of rows in the Sunday morning service being an annoyance to you, it'll be a blessing to you. And an exciting thing to you. And the more noise and disruption they make, the more of them there are, and the gladder you might get. See? And you may get more involved in their lives. What are those things you carry around, Doc? I called them down laters the other day, and that's not what they call them. Starburst. Starburst. You know, it's a simple little thing that Doc's doing. But what if you became the licorice man? What do you call those long stringy things? We used to call them licorice, but they don't call them that anymore. What do they call them? Twizzlers. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, you can buy them big things in Sam's. And, you know, a simple way. Kids seek him out. And, of course, he has fun with it. But all of us, we can do those kinds of things. We can be involved in those lives and have a part of that. And let them know there's people that care about them. We can be responsible in those kinds of ways. Every person ought to be available to one of those classes right now. Right now. Not today, our attendance is way down, but right now, our church, really, we could use twice as many Sunday school teachers. Most of our teachers are teaching two years of grades. We have the rooms for them, and if we had them, we could. And you say, well, my class will only be two or three people. So? What if those two or three people, you were able to mentor them, you were able to teach them some valuable truths, and you saw their lives flourish? What would that mean? What would that mean? You look around some of these kids, and I had one of our young ladies pointed out to me last night, and I'm not mentioning names, but how much they've seen them grow and how they've seen some maturity in the life and just kind of awed by what they're seeing in their life. What if we had that part in their life? See, that's an interesting area we have. It's a responsibility for all of us to model the life before them. You see, it's more than just teaching them some truth on Sunday morning. It's that they might then look back at the church and see us living that. It's not just the teacher that they ought to see living that. And by the way, you know it's quite a shame when a student shows up and their teacher isn't there. I mean, seriously. We teach all sorts of things by our lives. And if our kids were looking and seeing those things, what a tremendous thing we have there. And we are to equip them. And we equip them. How do we do that? Well, we teach them. We do it one-on-one. But we also do it with our lives and as we have part in their lives. It's our responsibility. And don't give me this business. I'm not a Sunday school teacher. Don't give me this business. I'm not a teacher. If you're an individual, you have influence in lives. If you're an individual, people are looking at you and they are seeing truth being lived or not lived. They're seeing what's real and what's not real. And it's our responsibility. Another area, and all these areas I'm going to talk about are really the same thing when it comes to our responsibility. We have a thing called Master Clubs. An excellent tool to seek to get the Word of God into a child's heart. Tremendous tool. If every leader had a deep, heartfelt desire to see these kids get a vivid understanding of a verse rather than just get a badge, there'd be a huge change. And many folks don't even know what Master Club is. It's a part of our church and have no idea. And we ought to at least have an idea of it. We ought to understand some things. And it's a program that we have. And Wednesday nights, and what do they do? They come to church. We spend an hour and a half with them. They spend an hour and a half in a lesson, or excuse me, half hour in a lesson. They spend a half hour with an individual seeking to memorize a verse or several verses. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I what? Might not sin against God. And by the way, if they've hid the word of God in their heart and they've sinned against God and they've gone against that word, what's it going to teach them? They're a sinner in the need of the grace of God. Because the law is our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. And so we have this privilege and opportunity to do that. We take about 30 minutes, and some folks think this is a waste of time, but a game time. And the games are not just to play games. It's a time whereby under supervision they can see adults living for God. They can see other young folks. And some kids never know how to play right. But it's an opportunity to, and by the way, also an opportunity just to wear them out a little bit. And some kids need a lot of wearing out. And it's a time of training as well. And if we get that vision in our hearts, and it includes everybody involved, those who transport them, those who teach them, those who are playing with them, and that chance where they get to interact with real Christian men and women. What a privilege. A lot of our kids never, ever grow up with a man around. It's a fact of life. So many homes, the man is absent. All they know is the latest boyfriend. And they don't know when he's leaving and the new one's coming. And they need somebody that's got some stability and solidity in their life. And wow, what a tremendous opportunity. We have Sunday school. We have Master Club. We also have a Christian school, where biblical principles are taught throughout every subject. And we can see the relevancy of all that God has for us. Do you realize, in the last 15 years, I've looked at it, in the last 15 years, 95% of our missionaries that have come to our church, not just the ones we support, 95% of the missionaries who have come to our church, we have one almost every month, do we not? Have been a part of a Christian school, grew up in one. Think about that for a moment. They've been raised there. By and large, they're the only ones that can also handle the stringent rules of Bible colleges. So many can't handle that because they've not had those kinds of rules. And it's just amazing what we see there. I remember years ago we had a boy just kind of going off the course just a little bit. He quit school. And he said, I don't like all the rules there. And he said, I'm going to join the Marines. Why are you laughing? He did. He joined the Marines. He went through boot camp. He came back about 2 months later. How long is boot camp for Marines? Is it 8 weeks? Is it 8 weeks? That's longer than the others, I think. And he came back from boot camp, and he came down to see me. And you know what he told me? He said, you're too soft on these kids. I've never forgotten that. You're too soft on these kids. And he was telling me, boy, when they get out of line, you ought to make them do one-handed push-ups. So I had this dumb picture of these girls that were ornery down there doing one-handed push-ups. Never mind. But seriously, we see that God has given us some opportunities in raising our kids as a church. Okay? And what do we find? We find young people that have stayed with it. What's true? They've been genuinely converted. That is very important. Without that, no Holy Spirit of God to work in their hearts and their lives in showing them the relevance of God. And then secondly, we have the privilege and the opportunity through the resources we have here to what? Mentor these kids, to bring them along. to have a part in their lives. And we have the privilege, by the way, if we don't have children, guess what we have the privilege of? We can also kind of halfway adopt a kid. And just be a part of their life and be a blessing to them. And what a privilege that is. There's one other factor that's very important as we look at and see young folks as they're raising up for the Lord. They're genuinely converted. They are equipped rather than entertained. Church is not just to come and be entertained, but it's a time of teaching the Word of God, helping them to see the relevancy of it, if you want to call them programs or what kind of avenues we do. These things are very, very important. Thirdly, their parents preach and practice the Bible. Did you hear that? Their parents preach and practice the Bible. Not in a negative way. Some parents, it's about not doing everything. My mother, bless her heart, she was not the smartest woman in the world, but she had some wisdom. And she believed that if she kept me busy enough, I couldn't get in trouble. Now, she worked a job for which I, as a kid, was so thankful because I had days off from her work ethic. I dreaded Wednesdays because Mom was home. It meant I wasn't going to play with my friends all day because I had responsibilities. I was thrilled when snow came because I got my snow shovel and I went around to places and I earned money shoveling snow. But I also, I had to do ours first. And we had two old ladies in our block. I had to go do theirs whether they paid me or not. And she was very meticulous about that. I couldn't just shovel the snow off of the sidewalk. I had to leave a space about that wide off of the sidewalk in case more snow came because it had to have a spot to do it. By the way, you go, I'd still do that. I drove the truck this morning, pushed the snow back on the dirt about over a truck length in case we get some more. Aren't you excited how much I left there? Because that means we just might get that much. I did that on the side of the gymnasium about 4 years ago when we had all that snow. And there was literally about 40 feet wide and 60 foot long and 6 feet tall snow. Most of you never saw that. It was shoved clear back. Anyway, that's another story. She believed in keeping busy on the positive things. What we need are homes where the gospel is not peripheral, but it is absolutely central in the lives of parents and thus in the lives of children. We need homes today, and these homes that produce these kinds of kids, they look at the authority of the Word of God for what they do. Does your child know that when you take out your belt or your board or whatever you use as the rod that God speaks of in Book of Proverbs, do they know that the Word of God is teaching you to do that? Do they know that the Bible teaches you that because you do that, you're showing them love? And by the way, when you get done with the spanking, do you show them love? You should always love them back to yourself. But do they understand those kinds of things? Are they receiving teaching as they're going through life? Remember what it says in the book of Deuteronomy? When thou walkest by the way. I heard one of our men the other day talk about some life lessons he was giving his son while they were hunting. Boy, that excited me. I thought, wow, that's exactly what we're talking about. And I know that some of you are scared to death of guns and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, that's another story and all that stuff. I just feel sorry for you. Anyways, You know, if you take your son out and you show him how to shoot, you know what you can do? You can show him how life is about aiming at a target. You know, playing football, it's a great sport, but it's got some tremendous life lessons if we do it. Some of our college football and other sports, some of these coaches are tremendous because they take the opportunity to use these things to teach them about life. Amen? You know, it, all you're doing is teaching your son to run the ball and to make the touchdown. Yay, and everybody look at my son, how wonderful he is, and we stand there so proud. What have they learned? But if they can understand that life is going to have some people going to try to knock them down and try to terrify their life like the devil is coming at them, if they can learn that when they do get knocked down, hey, they're going to get back up and they're going to go at it again. I was 6 years old, and my pony, he was a demon. Little Shetland ponies, by the way, they're not gentle little animals. He was 400 pounds of mean, and he was stallion. He'd never been cut, and so if you understand horses, you know what I'm talking about. And here I'm, a little six-year-old boy on his back, and he had corn that day. For my pony to eat corn was something like an alcoholic getting another beer. And the kind of alcoholics that lose themselves, he go nuts. And he got rid of me going up the hill. We live on a gravel road, and I went down to the mailbox about a half mile away and got mail, and I had to get off him because he was so mean. He kept trying to take me under the mailbox, and I couldn't even open the box, and finally got off of him. I grabbed the horn with the mail in my hand, the reins in my other hand with the horn, put my foot in the stirrup, and boom, he takes off. He didn't care. I managed to get my leg up over his rump, about the tail, you know. You ever tried to ride a horse with one leg on the behind, one leg in the stirrup? And he's galloping as fast as he could. I'm 6 years old. I couldn't, you know, it's all I could do to hold on. I finally decided, and mail was going everywhere. And wouldn't you know, it was one of those days that, you know, the mailman left the box full. And I finally decided it'd probably be safer to jump. At least maybe I can pick my landing spot. And because I knew I was going to fall. I wasn't going to make it. And so I got myself positioned. And so hoping my foot wouldn't get caught in the stirrup when I did it, and I jumped. And the spot I picked wasn't a good one. And it was all messed up. I got up, I was crying, and then I look up the road, and that pony's going pell-mell right up the middle of the road, and then I'm crying because I'm afraid a car's going to come over the top of the hill and come down and hit that horse. It deserved it. But I didn't want to lose him at that moment. And so I did wreck a pretty good automobile. Anyways, I got back up to the house, and I walked in, and I was crying. You know what my mom said? Any idea? I think I have two pieces left. She said, get back on that horse and show it who's the boss and get down there and get the mail. My mother wasn't a mean mother. She was trying to show me a lesson in life. Trying to help me with something. And to realize, hey, there's going to be hard spots in life. How many times did you ever go home as a kid and you'd be all scraped up and your mom say, now you have worse things than this in life? Wasn't that a comfort? Lost 3 pounds of blood. Oh, you're going to have worse losses than that in your life. Well, I never lost 3 pounds. And trying to get some things. We have opportunities all day long in teaching life's lessons. Amen. We have the privilege through all of those experiences. By the way, parents, read and study daily the book of Proverbs. Because you can apply those over and over and help your children understand the reality of the Word of God. And to understand that God has given us principles to live by. Not necessarily rules for everything, but principles to live by. And to practice those and how they work in our lives. There's a multitude of them. And the book of Proverbs is tremendous. And if you don't understand how to really interpret those, listen, we got a little book in our library up there, and you can order online somewhere, I'm sure. It's called Those Kids from Proverbsville. And it only takes a handful of Proverbs, maybe 10 or 12 of them. It has a little story with them, and it'll give you great insight on how to begin to use the Proverbs. They're tremendous. And helping our kids to understand the relevancy of the Word of God. Is it real to you? Is it a real part of your life? Then that needs projected to our young folks, that they might see that. Now, they're not going to turn out perfect like Doc. They can become perfect in the mind of God, amen, by getting saved. And you and I, we then, as a church, have a tremendous privilege and responsibility to mentor them in all the ways that we can do that. And we also, as parents, we must preach and practice the Word of God. If they can see this verse taking place in your life, it'll be tremendous. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You know what most children are seeing their parents do, though? Seeking those things and adding God to it. That's what they're seeing. And when they see that, that's what they begin to do too. And thus they begin to want to go after things as opposed to the God who made the things. And the God who provides the things for us. And realizing the principles of God's Word. And it's not relevant to them. They need that in their lives. That's the kind of kids who keep on going for the Lord. And by the way, you don't have to be perfect at it. Because you won't be. I mean, it's a simple fact. But listen, when our objective is there, we got a great God who then can work in their hearts. Amen? They need that. Kids in this church are watching you. Are you helping their parents? Or are you as a parent helping your children to see God as real? Something we need to look at to discover ourselves. It's a tremendous, tremendous area and responsibility. We want our kids to keep on keeping on. Amen? We don't want to see any of them go to the devil's side. Don't want to see that. And they need to see how real it is. Amen? You know what? You coming today when it's very bitter and cold outside, you know what that tells your kids? There's something pretty important. That you would get out and leave the comfort of a nice warm bed and home and come to church. That says something. Because it's been very easy to stay in bed this morning. But what would that have told your kids? Amen? And those who are here, they look at you who are not their parents, and what do they see? They see it's important to you. And that's a blessing. Father, today, thank you for these moments. And Lord, I thank you for the privilege these many weeks to be able to talk about some very, very hard things. And Lord, we don't come to these things to be popular because we know it's not popular. We realize that talking about the rod is not a popular thing. We realize that standing true to our convictions and teaching our children to walk the ways of God is It's not a popular thing. God, we see it as real from your word. We pray that you might help us to live it. God, give our especially our parents great wisdom and strength. And Lord, let them not be dismayed. Let them not be discouraged by all that they see in this world. And Lord, I know that even sometimes amongst family members, there are those who really disrupt and in some ways just draw them away. Lord, I pray that you just use each and every one here. Help us, oh God, to see our responsibility as a church. Even if we're not a Sunday school teacher, even if we're not in Master Club or the school, Lord, that we might realize that we are a part of this, and that we might show our light and be a blessing to those who are coming after us. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.